All right, so get ready for this, everyone. Today we're taking a deep dive into something that's, well, kind of a medical mystery. You know how sometimes you find out that things that seem totally different are actually, like, super connected?
Yeah, it's like suddenly realizing two puzzle pieces you thought were from totally different puzzles actually fit together.
Exactly, and that's what we're looking at today. This wild connection between a rare neurological disorder and, get this, potential cardiac risks.
Fascinating, right?
It is. We're talking about alternating hemiplegia of childhood, or AHC for short. It's incredibly rare, affecting about 1 in a million people. And it causes all sorts of neurological symptoms. You know, things like temporary paralysis, involuntary movements. It's a whole spectrum. But here's the thing. In some cases, AHC has been linked to sudden unexplained death. We're talking SUD.
Yeah, and that's a piece of the puzzle that researchers have been trying to crack for a while now. You know, is there something else going on, maybe a cardiac connection, that could help explain these tragic cases of SUD in folks with AHC?
Well, there's a brand new study just published in JAMA Pediatrics last month, actually, that might have some answers. And this study, let me tell you, it was massive. A huge international collaboration, 12 centers, 10 countries all working together. They looked at 148 individuals with AHC and 74 healthy controls. And their findings, well, they could seriously change the way we think about AHC.
Absolutely. And one of the most surprising findings, at least for me, was this link they found between specific variations in the ATP1A3 gene and something called a short QTC interval.
Okay, hold on. I got to stop you right there. I think we need to back up for a second. What exactly is a QTC interval and why is it so important?
Good point. So the QTC interval is basically a measure of how long it takes for your heart's electrical system to kind of reset after each beat. Think of it like recharging. And a shorter than normal QTC interval, even though it might sound like your heart's recharging super fast, which, you know, maybe sounds good at first, it's actually been linked to an increased risk of dangerous irregular heartbeats. Specifically, we're talking about ventricular arrhythmias. And those, well, they can be life-threatening.
So what we're saying is there's this potential link between certain variations in this gene and a pretty serious cardiac risk factor.
Exactly. And the connection gets even more interesting, maybe even a little bit concerning, when you zero in on a particular ATP1A3 variant. It's called D801N.
D801N.
Okay.
What's so significant about this particular variant?
Well, in this study, almost 70%, yeah, nearly 70% of the people with this D801N variant had a short QTC interval. And even more concerning, this specific variant was associated with cases of ventricular fibrillation, which is a super dangerous type of arrhythmia. We're talking seriously dangerous. And on top of that, it was even associated with sudden cardiac arrest.
Wow, so it sounds like this D801N variant is basically a huge red flag for cardiac issues in people with AHC.
It definitely raises some serious concerns and warrants a closer look, that's for sure. Now, the study did find some other ATP1A3 variants that were also associated with short QT intervals, but these were much less frequent than the D801N variant, what we call lower penetrance, meaning they're not as likely to actually cause the shortened QTC and therefore the associated cardiac risks.
So it seems like D801N is kind of the main culprit here. The other variants are, well, less likely to cause trouble, at least when it comes to heart rhythms.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And this is where the study's findings have really big implications for doctors and clinicians. It highlights how important it is to do a thorough cardiac evaluation for anyone with AHC, especially if they have this D801N variant.
Because early detection, early intervention, that could literally be life-saving.
Absolutely. And, you know, to really get to the bottom of how this D801N variant actually affects the heart on a cellular level, the researchers went a step further, and it's really remarkable what they did. They used, get this, induced pluripotent stem cell-derived cardiomyocytes. Basically, we're talking about lab-grown heart cells to model the effects of this variant.
Wow, so they basically made mini hearts in a dish to see exactly how this variant messes things up.
You got it. And what they found when they looked at these mini hearts with the D801N variant, well, it was pretty fascinating.
To spill the tea.
Mm-hmm.
Were these little D801N heart cells behaving badly?
They were indeed. They were exhibiting abnormally fast electrical recovery after each beat, which kind of explains why they were seeing those short QTC intervals on the EKGs. But there was another interesting finding. These cells also had a tendency to develop something called delayed after depolarizations, DADs for short.
Okay, delayed after depolarizations. Those don't sound good. What are those all about?
They can be trouble. Think of DADs like little hiccups in the heart's electrical system. They're actually a known precursor to those dangerous arrhythmias we were talking about earlier.
So to recap, we've got this D801N variant that leads to this super fast electrical recovery. And then on top of that, it also increases the chance of these electrical hiccups, which ultimately means a higher risk of serious heart rhythm problems.
You nailed it. And here's the kicker. This whole thing with the D801N variant and the short QTC intervals, it might actually connect AHC to another rare heart condition called short QT syndrome, or SQTS.
Short QT syndrome. Okay, I'm all ears. Tell me more about that.
So short QT syndrome is a rare inherited heart condition. And as the name suggests, it's, you know, characterized by a short QT interval on an EKG. And it's serious. SQTS significantly increases the risk of sudden cardiac arrest, especially in younger folks.
So what you're saying is this research suggests that the D801N variant might not just be relevant to AHC, but it could actually play a role in this other potentially fatal heart condition too.
That's exactly what it looks like. It's like we've stumbled onto this hidden pathway between two seemingly completely separate conditions, all thanks to this one tiny gene variant.
This is blowing my mind. We've gone from talking about a rare neurological disorder to a potential link with a dangerous heart condition, all because of this little variation in the ATP1E3 gene. It's incredible. So I guess the big question is, what does this mean for people who have AHC, especially those who have this D801N variant?
Well, the bottom line is that if you have AHC, and especially if you carry the D801N variant, you really need to get a thorough cardiac evaluation. We're talking regular EKGs to monitor that QTC interval, and potentially some other tests as well, depending on what your doctor recommends. Early detection is key here.
Because we're talking about potentially life-saving interventions, right?
100%. And what's really exciting is that this research opens up so many new possibilities for understanding and potentially even treating both AHC and SQTS.
It's like, by figuring out the root cause, we might be able to come up with ways to actually prevent these conditions, or at least treat them much more effectively.
That's the hope. This study really marks a huge leap forward in our understanding of this complex interplay between our genes, our brains, and our hearts.
It's amazing what can happen when scientists from all over the world, from different fields, team up to tackle a medical mystery.
It truly is. And it just goes to show that what we know about health and disease is always changing. We're just scratching the surface of these incredibly complex connections.
It makes you wonder, you know, what other hidden links are out there just waiting to be discovered? What other secrets are our genes holding?
That's the beauty of science, right? It's a constant journey of discovery. And who knows what other amazing connections we'll uncover along the way. It really is a journey of discovery. And this specific finding, I think, highlights just how much potential there is for personalized medicine.
Yeah, it's pretty cool to think that we're moving away from like that one-size-fits-all approach to medicine and moving towards treatments that are really tailored to a person's, you know, specific genetic makeup. But before we go too far down that road, I think we need to back up a bit. How did the researchers even, like, start to suspect that there might be this connection between the ATP1A3 gene and heart problems in people with AHC?
Well, it all started with a pretty simple observation. You know, they noticed that individuals with AHC, especially those with the D801N variant, seem to have these like consistently shorter QTC intervals on their EKGs.
So they noticed a pattern and decided to dig deeper.
Exactly. And that's often how those big scientific breakthroughs happen. You know, someone gets curious about something, they see a pattern, and they just got to figure out what's going on. Of course, they didn't stop at just looking at the EKGs, right? They wanted to understand what was happening at a deeper level. Like, what were the mechanisms at play? And that's where those incredible lab-grown heart cells came in.
Right, right. The induced pluripotent stem cell-derived cardiomyocytes, or iPSCCMs for short. It's mind-blowing that scientists can basically, like, create these mini hearts in a dish to study this kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's a truly remarkable technology. It lets us really zoom in and study how these specific genetic variations actually affect the heart's function, all in a controlled environment. And what they saw when they looked at these iPSCCMs of the D801N variant, well, it was really telling.
What do they see happening in those D801N mini hearts?
So they found that those heart cells had this like abnormally fast repolarization phase. That's the part where the heart cells, you know, recover electrically after each heartbeat. And that finding, it actually gives us a cellular explanation for why we see those short QTC intervals on EKGs in people with the D801N variant.
So it's like those cells were in a hurry to reset, which is why their EKGs were showing that shorter interval.
Yeah, that's a great way to think about it. But, you know, remember, they also observed those delayed after depolarizations, those DADs in these cells.
Right, those electrical hiccups.
Exactly. And when you've got those DADs happening on top of the super fast repolarization, well, that creates a perfect storm for potential arrhythmias. It's like a double whammy for the heart's electrical system.
So this research is really painting a clear picture here. The D801N variant can lead to that fast repolarization, which then makes those electrical hiccups more likely. And in the end, it all sets the stage for those potentially life-threatening arrhythmias.
It's like a chain reaction, you know, it starts at the level of the genes and ends up impacting the heart's rhythm.
It's amazing how one tiny variation in a gene can have such a huge impact.
Yeah, it really highlights how interconnected everything is in our bodies and how powerful our genes are in influencing our health. And I think this research is just the beginning. Think about all the possibilities for developing, you know, targeted therapies now that we're starting to understand this better.
That's what I find so exciting. It's not just about managing symptoms anymore. It's about potentially addressing the problem at its source.
Exactly. And that's why I think this research has the potential to be truly revolutionary. It could lead to new therapies that could address both AHC and SQTS. Imagine being able to change the course of these conditions. That would be incredible.
Totally groundbreaking. But what about those other less common ATP1A3 variants that were also linked to shorter QT intervals? Are those something to worry about?
That's a good question. While they were definitely less common and they might have lower penetrance compared to D801N, I still think it's incredibly important for anyone with any ATP1A3 variant to get a thorough cardiac evaluation. We can't just assume that they're safe because they don't have that specific D801N variant, you know?
So better safe than sorry, get checked out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think this research really emphasizes how important proactive screening and personalized care are. Not every single person with an ATP1A3 variant will develop heart problems, but careful monitoring can help us identify the individuals who are at higher risk. And if we catch it early, well, that gives us the chance to intervene early too.
Which brings up another really important point, the ethical implications of all this genetic testing, especially when we're talking about rare conditions, potentially life-altering conditions like AHC. It's a tough issue. No easy answers.
Yeah, it really is. Genetic testing can be this incredibly powerful tool, but it brings up a whole bunch of ethical questions that we need to think carefully about.
Things like, you know, informed consent, the potential for discrimination based on a person's genetic information, and the psychological impact of getting a positive test result. Those are all so important.
They are. And these are things that we really need to have open and honest conversations about, especially as genetic testing becomes more and more common.
This research has definitely given us a lot to think about the connection between AHC and heart health, the potential for personalized medicine, and all those ethical challenges that come with unlocking the sequence of our genes. This has been a true deep dive into this complex world of genetics and how it affects our lives.
For sure. And I think it's a good reminder that science is always moving forward, always evolving. Our understanding of health and disease is constantly growing.
And as we continue to learn more about all these intricate connections within our bodies, we have to remember to approach these advancements with, you know, a sense of excitement, but also with a healthy dose of caution. It really is like we're getting this glimpse into these amazing inner workings of our bodies and finding these connections we never would even thought about before.
Yeah, and with every new discovery we make, we kind of have this responsibility to make sure we're using that knowledge in a way that makes sense ethically, you know? And that's especially true when we're talking about genetic testing.
Because it can be, I don't know, a little bit scary, right? Having this knowledge.
Yeah.
Especially when we're talking about information that's so personal.
Yeah.
And could really change someone's life.
Exactly. Imagine if someone gets a positive test result for a rare condition like AHC. It can be a lot to take in, you know. You've got the immediate concern about your own health and, you know, maybe developing symptoms, and then there's this whole other layer of what it means for your family and for future generations. It's a lot.
It really is a lot to process. And that's where I think genetic counseling is just so important.
Oh, absolutely. Genetic counselors are trained professionals who can help people navigate all of this, you know, this whole world of genetic information. They can provide guidance, support, resources, all the things people need to help them understand their test results and explore what their options are and really just cope with the emotional side of things, too.
They're like I don't know, Sherpas on this really intense personal journey, helping people make sense of all this complex information so they can actually make informed decisions about their health.
That's a great analogy. But it's not just about individual decisions or personal journeys, right? There's a whole societal piece to this, too, that we need to be thinking about.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, we need to be really mindful of the potential for discrimination based on genetic information.
Oh, yeah, that's huge.
Imagine a world where employers or insurance companies could just use your genetic data against you, you know, deny you a job or health coverage just because of something that's completely out of your control, that's not right.
That's a pretty scary thought. It makes me think that we need some serious legal protections and ethical guidelines in place to make sure that genetic information is used responsibly and not as a weapon to discriminate against people.
Totally agree. We need some safeguards to protect people from this kind of genetic discrimination and make sure this technology, which is so powerful, is used for good and not for harm.
Right, for good.
And then there's the whole question of data privacy. That's another big one.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Genetic data is like the most sensitive and personal information there is. How do we protect that from being misused or exploited?
That's the million-dollar question, and it's going to take a lot of effort from a lot of different people to solve it. We need strong data security measures, you know?
Yeah.
We need regulations in place to control how genetic information is collected and used, and we need everyone involved to be committed to transparency and accountability, researchers, healthcare providers, genetic testing companies. Everyone's got a role to play in this.
It's like a shared responsibility to make sure these tools are used ethically and people's rights and privacy are protected.
Exactly. It's about finding that balance between, you know, moving science forward and also protecting individuals.
Well, I think it's safe to say that our deep dive into the world of ATP1A3 has been pretty eye-opening, wouldn't you say? We started with this seemingly simple observation about shorter QTC intervals, and now we're talking about a potential link between a rare neurological disorder and a dangerous heart condition. It's wild.
It really is. And we also explored the incredible possibilities of personalized medicine and all the ethical questions that come along with uncovering the secrets of our genes.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It really highlights how science is this ongoing journey, always uncovering something new, always leading to more questions and more research.
And as we keep digging deeper into these mysteries of how our bodies work, I think it's so important to remember that we need to approach these advancements with a sense of curiosity, but also with a lot of responsibility.
Absolutely, because at the end of the day, science is all about improving lives and helping to create a healthier future for everyone.
Well said. Well, thanks for joining us, everyone, for this deep dive into this fascinating topic. We'll see you next time.